Live from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Calm down. Take a deep breath. It's hot out. We both thought this was going to be a nightmare today. Greg was just bragging about his new living quarters where he's treated like a king. Or he thinks it's pretty much the end and you're going to be on a downhill slide and in trouble pretty soon.
Well, I think that
I only see an upward trajectory here. I think you're good.
I think I'm one of those people, though, when things are going good, I expect something bad to happen, kind of like a batting average.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see.
You played baseball, right?
I did.
After that first pitch. I don't know.
Still sour about that.
That'll take down the whole show.
Yeah, right?
You self-brutalized.
I was doing good, and now I hate myself again. Yep, thanks a lot.
Let's bring in Miles Simmons. Miles, as I always say, is a voice of reason. We're yelling a lot today. It's hot. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. I did hear it is very hot. One of my best friends is flying into Vegas for, I guess, the NHL draft.
Yeah.
Is that the thing that's happening?
Thursday,
there?
Friday. You know, Thursday, Friday. I know. Yeah. You love hockey.
So, yes, I know. I did watch game 7 last night. So, you know, big thing there.
You sound juiced. You really sound juiced about it.
I mean, there was nothing else on, right? It was that or college baseball. So, I mean, I kind of would have preferred college baseball.
But oh, boy.
I was doing the thing with the group chat, you know, where we're all talking and watching the same thing. So that's why that happened.
Miles is from Pro Football Talk, but this time of year we talk some football, we talk other stuff. I tease something going to break. I have to deliver on that to the audience. Not going to do this, but I think you might be out of the demo that would appreciate, although you're an old soul, the references to the Brat Pack. There is a documentary on the Brat Pack. Do you know what the Brat Pack is?
I don't.
Okay.
I do not know what the Brat Pack
is. So there were a bunch of...
I feel like I should, but I don't.
No, it's a good thing. It means you're young.
Well, yeah, it does. And it was a cultural phenomenon. And so early 80s to mid 80s are a bunch of movies. You could probably go like 15 movies deep. And a lot of the same, a bunch of movies with 20-somethings in it. I know there's a bunch of movies all the time. But with 20-somethings in it. And it launched the careers of a lot of people like Rob Lowe and Demi Moore. Others did okay. Emilio Estevez is part of it, you know, part of the Sheen family. But the conclusion here is one of my thoughts when watching it was they were called the Brat Pack because it was a demeaning term to rip on young, talented people. And I feel like this is a cyclical thing where we hate the young and we hate the young in sports. And we always try to come up with negative terms to hammer them. Now you're kind of in that. What are you? Are you you're like a young millennial?
I would say I'm like right in the heart of the millennial.
Okay, so you're right in the heart.
I'm 32. I'm 32.
Do what older people like myself and those boomers say about millennials? Uh-huh. Does that irk you?
Well, I think it's more about Gen Z at this point, right?
Yep. Now they're the new target. There's always a new target.
Well, yes.
Why are we like this?
You know, people get younger and younger, but Gen Z is worse than millennials. I mean, in all respects. Am I not right about this? I mean, come on now. You know, millennials, we like to complain about different things, and, you know, we love avocado toast, and we'll never be able to afford a house and all that, especially, where I live in Southern California. But I think Gen Z, they don't like to work. They don't want to do anything. They just think that they should be handed everything.
Wow.
And it's not that I work around a bunch of Gen Z folks, because I don't. But the people who I know, who I am close to, like, they always talk about this. Like, how is it that Gen Z is this bad? How do they want to do this, that, and the third? So that is, I don't know. I'm sorry to any Gen Zers who are still listening to sports radio, but I'm sorry. That's just the way it is.
Do you know what you sound like?
An old crotchety boomer.
Didn't you hate the people above you crapping on you? Because I hated it, and now my mindset, and it's been this way for like 30 years. I will almost never just do this. Young people are this or that material because I freaking hated it when I was younger.
Yeah, I get it. But
let's
do the right thing. As you said, Steve. I mean, I've been an old soul for a long time, and you know, you've been at me on the show for a long time. This is far from my only boomer take. You know, I got a lot of those, so it's just who I am. I got to embrace it.
There he is. We're talking to Miles Simmons, Pro Football Talk, but we're going to talk a little bit about the Lakers here. JJ Redick obviously announces Lakers head coach. I keep hearing this stuff about his resume. He has no resume, which is true in coaching.
Man, guy like played Jeff Saturday.
But the guy played 17 years in the league. They're acting like he worked at a muffler shop or something. I mean, like he doesn't know anything about basketball. Isn't it? I mean, is it getting a little bit overblown that the guy has no experience?
Well, I mean, what did he say yesterday? He doesn't give a bleep, right?
Right.
You know, that was interesting. I saw that and I'm like, my God, like you're saying that in your Lakers introductory press conference. Like, aren't you a broadcaster?
Right.
Like, don't you know you don't really use profanity in those situations? Like, come on, man, be a pro. I guess it's kind of what the point was, though, right? You know, he's trying to be the guy and say, you know, I'm going to do this my way and all that. And frankly, probably should if he's going to be the head coach. I think it's different. You know, I mean, I just used the name Jeff Saturday, right? Like that to me is way different in football than it is in basketball for several reasons. But I mean, I think the job of a head coach in basketball is dramatically easier than the job of a head coach in football for, like I said, several reasons. And yeah, J.J. Redick understands the game. He knows the game. I think he's a smart guy. He went to Duke. You know, that is what it is. But yeah, I think that especially because he's got LeBron on his side, like that team has the potential to still be good. They got to get more talent there. But I don't think that just because J.J. Redick doesn't have very much experience being a basketball coach means that he's not going to do very well.
Well, you bring
Neither
up
a, Steve Kerr.
You bring up a good point about, you know, planning this stuff out, and maybe he was trying to be a little edgy in his first, you know, press conference. What about the podcast thing? Is that another thing that they were like, hey, here's a list of things we want you to say. Please go out there and say you're not doing your podcast anymore.
I'm sure that came up.
Yeah.
I mean, if you got a good PR person, that's got to come up, right? You know, and just the sense of, hey, this is one thing that you do. And, you know, again, you're a professional broadcaster and you have opinions and you say things and da-da-da-da-da. Like, are you – and people wanted to know that. I wanted to know if he was going to continue to do the podcast. So it doesn't surprise me that, you know, he's not going to, at least at this point. but, yeah, that's something that, of course, you know, you got to have somebody prepare you for those kinds of things.
How awesome would it be, though, if, like, after a Lakers game and they have a bad game, if all of a sudden him and LeBron were, like, on a podcast and you got to watch it? Oh, my God, I'd be tuning in immediately.
Yeah, well, if it were Draymond Green and not LeBron James, then that would be something that they would do.
Dude, I knew you were going to say that. Don't you love that podcast of just the single shot with him like eating a microphone and just spewing? And you're like, what is he talking about?
Right.
Yeah.
I never watched LeBron and J.J. Redick on this podcast. Was it good? Anyone watch it?
I watched more clips than I did the actual, you know, whole shebang. I don't know if it was 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour, whatever it was. But I don't know. I mean, I find LeBron interesting, obviously. I'm from Cleveland and all that. I have found J.J. Redick interesting as a broadcaster for a long time, too. So, I mean, it didn't surprise me that those two, you know, would have something that was interesting together. But, yeah, I couldn't tell you if it was really a good show or not.
Didn't it seem like they drank a lot on there? It seemed like a lot of LeBron getting hammered when I watched it.
Well, that's his thing. You know, he went to the Cavs game. He's got bottle of wine under his chair now. He's got to have the vino going. I don't blame him.
Miles Simmons is with us. You're passionate about football most of the time. I think you're a casual fan on some other things. Indians and check that. Guardians. I do it every time.
Oops. I know. Put it in the jar.
Cancel it. Dump it. Dump machine. I wanted your take on this one.
Okay.
And I'm trying to figure out, is the chatter about championships so short-lived now? Like, we mentioned in hour one about the Celtics had a buzz for, like, 2 days, and it was like, you know, other
was
stuff going
even
on.
2 days?
Right?
Sorry.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, Kendrick Lamar and his concert. I probably called him Lamar Kendrick earlier. Kendrick Lamar and Lakers coaching search had, like, overtaken it by the end of the week. And I saw a great tweet last night, which I think this person was saying, hey, this is a great – I'm not sure it is. NBA's had six different champions the last 6 years. NHL, seven in the last eight. MLB, nine different champions last 10 years. This person said, the golden age of parody. Is parody good?
Yes and no. I mean, there's not parody in the NFL right now.
Nope, you know? And that's what I pointed to. I said the evil empire, the Chiefs.
Right, yeah, which is crazy. Like, who would have thought, you know, 5 years ago that the Chiefs of all teams would become an evil empire? I mean, I guess if you watched Patrick Mahomes in 2018 and 2019, that's 5 years ago, then maybe you would have thought that. But, you know, it's it's interesting to me because, I mean, football is obviously the most popular sport, right? And football is a dynasty-driven league. You know, before the Chiefs, right? Patriots. You know, you can go back into the 90s and you get Cowboys, 49ers, and all this. So, I mean, maybe it is good, but if you want to talk about it by popularity, right, you have to talk about the NFL because it is the most popular sport in America, one of the most popular sports in the world because of the way that people watch it. You know, you're not getting nearly, let's even say like 30 million viewers, right, for the NBA finals or for the NHL finals or for the World Series. I mean, and 30 million is what the NFL is pulling during the playoffs, not even the championship games. That's 40, 50 million, and you got 100 million plus for the Super Bowl. So maybe parody's good in some way. Maybe it's not. I don't know. I mean, you look at F1, Max Verstappen is dominating everything, and that's not necessarily the best thing either. But before that, there was Lewis Hamilton. So I don't know. I mean, sports sometimes is just dynasty-driven, right? And maybe parody is good. Maybe it's not. I don't think I really answered your question there at all.
No, I was hoping you would have a take on it. I think dynasties are the best. And I pointed out to Greg in the audience in hour one, you know, I'm an old guy, but like I remember doing sports talk radio in years where there have been dynasties, and we'll put aside the NFL, but where, you know, Jordan and the Bulls, and people at the time were like, oh, it's getting boring. Like, is this really what you wanted? Is like, it's cool because it gives everyone hope if you have a decent owner. But I think fans lie to themselves about, oh, I don't like a dynasty. It's boring. Like, you do love a dynasty. Shut up.
Well, we can go back, you know, what, 5-6 years again, where we're talking about the NBA, and it was Cavs Warriors for those years, for several years. And, I mean, again, I like it personally because I'm from Cleveland, and that was really cool. And 2016 is something that I will celebrate probably till the end of time. But, yeah, I think, you know, when people were talking about, oh, we're tired of LeBron versus Steph, I don't think people were really that tired of LeBron versus Steph.
No.
I really don't.
No.
And then, you know, it was Toronto and the Warriors in that one final series, and Toronto won. But I don't even know that that had as much aura, let's call it, as those previous Cavs-Warriors series, just because that was what the NBA was for years and years. People are like, oh, we could just fast forward through the regular season and the playoffs, blah, blah, blah. But it was still fun to watch that every single year as those two teams had to strive really hard in order to get back to the finals.
All right, so the Panthers, speaking of the NFL, now have had $650 million approved. Now, if there's an opposite of an aura, it's probably their owner. What do you think about this, and how do you think they're feeling over there in right now about this?
Well, I mean, it's one of those things at this point now, unfortunately, where sometimes you are, if you are a team and you are the public in the city, you know, it's okay, you got to do this or else. And especially with David Tepper, who, I mean, I hesitate to use this word sometimes, but I don't know that this is really unfair for me to say. Like, David Tepper's a little bit erratic when it comes to business.
Yeah.
And the way that he acts, sure, whether it is on or off the field. I mean, they had a practice facility in Rock Hill, South Carolina, which is just across the border from Charlotte in North Carolina. And, you know, it was about halfway done, and he pulled the plug on the funding. And I don't know if they've demolished what was there and what they had built so far. But once he does that, then that changes the course of a lot of stuff for jobs in South Carolina, for really the trajectory of where people are going to live within the franchise, because people were preparing to move into South Carolina to be closer to that facility. And now everything is going to be occurring in uptown Charlotte because they're weird and they don't say downtown for whatever reason. I think that is so stupid. But they, you know, and you know, are in that surrounding area by Bank of America Stadium. So, yeah, I'm not shocked that these things happen. You know, I mean, you can look at Jacksonville. They just did the same thing. Apparently, a little bit ago today, they just approved a bunch of public money and a bunch of public funding to renovate whatever they call that stadium there, Everbank Field, I guess it is. So this is something that we're going to continue to see. And, you know, I don't know that it's the best thing, but, you know, people want to invest. The people want to invest in their football teams because it makes them that much more of a big deal as a city.
Miles A. Simmons up on Twitter. Miles Simmons, Pro Football Talk. You saw what Florio said in his story, right, at the end of the story?
No.
He's like me with the, you know, power to the people. Tell these owners no. He said, why do elected officials, because the city council there voted 7-3 to give $650 million for renovation to a billionaire bordering on zillionaire. Why do elected officials continue to defy the will of the people? Basically, he goes to say, those seven that voted yes on this, you should go and vote no to them.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I mean, look, it's the same thing we saw in Kansas City, right? I mean, you talk about power of the people. Yep. Kansas City had the opportunity to vote for a funding measure that would have funded renovations for Arrowhead Stadium, which I thought was a half measure, which, you know, they need a new stadium. That thing was built in the 1970s. Like, let's, you know, let's update this thing, right? And then it was also for the Royals and their new stadium that would have been downtown, and because the Chiefs and Royal Stadiums are right there at the same complex there in Missouri. So they voted no on that. And so now what's happened is Kansas, again, just across the border, has voted through the legislature to say, hey, we'll take y'all. You know, we want stadiums here in Kansas for both the Chiefs and the Royals. And so now that might force Missouri's hand into doing something if they want to keep those two teams across the border in Missouri instead of the free state of Kansas. So we'll see how that ends up playing out. But yeah, I mean, they defy the will of the people, you know, and they end up funding stadiums for billionaires. And there's a good argument that they really shouldn't be doing that, especially if it's going to be an outdoor stadium that is not going to bring you the economic benefits of being able to be open all year round and potentially bringing in a Super Bowl, bringing in Final Fours and all those different types of things.
Well, speaking of taking money from fans, we have a publicly funded stadium here in Las Vegas as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now the Raiders, I don't know if you saw this, they have this trailer that they set up. It's a $20,000 tailgate experience. Where you can bring some friends or whatever and hang out. And there's a couch in there and a couple TVs and whatever. What do you think about that?
I don't think that is worth the money. But if you have it, then maybe spend it. I mean, come on. I don't know. I tailgated at different places. That doesn't feel like a real Raiders tailgate to me. You know,
yeah.
I mean, like, I covered the Raiders for a year in their last year in Oakland, and you go through the Oakland Coliseum parking lot, and, you know, that stadium may have been a dump, but the fans weren't dumpy. You know, the fans were out to have a good time. And, like, that to me is a tailgate experience where you've got the back of the pickup truck, you know, and
yeah.
You got the grill going, and, like, you've brought the food, and you're inviting different people over from the different tailgates around you. Like, what are you doing with a $20,000 experience? That's not tailgating. It's like, I don't know what the word would be, like, camping versus glamping. Like,
I was just
going
to say, yeah, it's a great example.
Glampgating? I don't know.
Miles Simmons, old soul. I don't think it applies here. I'm assuming you just like this because the guy is cool. I saw you retweet some hopes that Tom Jones, who announced he's going to be doing some shows, sir,
hell yeah.
Tom Jones, that you'd like him to play in L.A.?
Yes. He's coming, man.
Oh, it's guaranteed?
Like, he announced the tour yesterday. 84 years old.
Woo.
Years young. That man's got a voice on him, all right? This is one of the greatest voices of the last 100 years, okay? So, and I've never been able to see him live. But you can go. He's on The Voice UK, at least he used to be. I don't know if he still is. But there are clips of him singing at 80-plus years old. He's still got that voice, all right? It's not unusual. Delilah, all those songs. He's fantastic. I can't wait till he comes.
Hope
he's playing in Vegas, too, two shows. I might have to come and sneak in there.
You made reference to Greg wants old people to drive more aggressively in speed because, you know, what's left? Go have fun. My smart-ass remark was going to be something about Kelly Stafford and Tom Jones. I don't know. Is there anything on either one of them?
I mean, Kelly Stafford might need to stop talking.
Yes.
But
enough.
Where Tom Jones can keep his voice open, maybe Kelly Stafford should shut hers.
Miles,
does that work?
You're the best. You're sassy during the off season. Keep it going, please. Keep it going. We'll see you, buddy.
I'll try. All right, take care, guys.
Thanks, Miles.
Miles Simmons. Miles A. Simmons. Pro Football Talk. Pro Football Talk. And Peacock, which I forgot to mention. I don't know if it's still alive, but I know they had a tremendous year deal offer for Peacock, which is going to have a lot more football now and a lot more sports. Well, a lot more basketball.
That's right.
Where do you think all the NBA stuff's going to go in a couple of years?
It's true.
There's so many places. Okay. So he mentions Tom Jones.
Yes.
I think Tom Jones did pretty well in his life with the ladies. I mean, obviously the bit was having underwear chucked at him, right?
Sure.
I was watching, I went on a Twitter handle, I'll have to find it, give a little pub like they care, but they had an old video of Engelbert Humperdinck.
Oh, man.
You ever heard him?
Yes.
Dude, it's like early 80s. The shirt, he's got all white on. So he's a pretty thin guy, right? I'm very jealous of Mark Davis at 70 or 69. They can wear all white. Can you and I wear white?
No.
White pants?
I can't even wear stripes that go sideways.
Right? So Humperdinck is up there. He's got the shirt all the way down to the bottom button, like above his belly button. He's got women sitting on the stage on each side. It opens with him like just making out with some lady.
What? Wow.
Then he gets up, he sings a little bit.
Yeah.
And he's like, your turn. And this lady's like, come on. She like,
now are these older ladies?
No.
Oh no.
Let's see, can I do some quick math here? He's older. He's actually a little older. He's older than Tom Jones, a little bit. He's like 88 and still, I don't know if he's still playing.
Wow.
But no, so if this was 1980, I mean, we're talking, he's probably like mid-40s. The women were, they look like they were under 30. I'll show you the video during the break. It was like, no one could do this now.
No.
Well, what a job.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of off-putting. Like, are you a public affection guy?
Not,
yeah,
not a PDA person at all. But you think back, like, Richard Dawson on Family Feud.
Oh, just so creepy. Just
exchanging spit left and right.
Yeah, I know. It's creepy.
And
even
women
at the time.
They were, like, into it, I think.
I thought it was creepy even at the time kind of watching it, though. Maybe I was young, and that's why, but it was kind of weird. He'd, like, grab their hands, and, like, he'd have his hand on, you know, like, when you hit a buzzer and they have your hand on the buzzer? He'd have their hand over their hand, like, slowly move his hand off their hand as he's talking to them and stuff. I was like, dude, this guy's crazy.
So is this the Jerry Seinfeld? Like, I missed the era of masculinity. Is that what he wanted to do?
That probably.
Freaking make out with strange women.
I guess. Yeah. Like real. Mad Men. You ever watch Mad Men?
It's great. Yeah. I mean,
it depicts it well.
It was different, man.
Sure.
You ladies. I don't know how you got through it.
I don't either.
Good for you.
It's crazy.
You know what's funny? When dudes are getting taken down left and right a few years ago, I'm like, I mean, what do you want?
Dude, if someone
Look
asks-
at what we were doing for all these years! Humperdinck! I don't know if Tom Jones did that, but...
Hey, look.
It's all Humperdinck's fault. Matt Lauer's like, Humperdinck did it.
I'm not saying that it happens all the time, but sometimes we get people to take pictures with us and stuff like that, and I do the Keanu Reeves now, man. My arms are like 5 feet away from the shoulders. I don't touch anybody. You know what I mean? I don't want any suspicions, nothing going on there, man.
I feel terrible. I just accused Humperdinck of like bringing in Me Too. Like, that's not right. He's a great entertainer.
He's probably a horrible person. Who cares?
Nah, you always assume that. I always assume that. Tom Jones.
Yeah.
Would you do it? Did you go see him?
Oh, I thought you meant would I make out with Tom Jones. Like, probably not.
How much?
Man, honestly? Like $100,000.
$100,000?
I'm living in a hotel, bro.
That's a good point. You're just sizing up the freaking storage shed. You're like, I'm not going to kiss Tom. Yeah. You don't need $100,000. Come on.
Yeah, you're probably right.
10?
If he paid for like August at the hotel,
maybe a quick kiss.
Yeah, we're not talking anything else, right? Just that.
Your standards are way too high.
Compared to what you imagined.
It's not a dream anymore. It's not a dream, it's reality. I can't believe it. I can't believe it.
What can't you believe the most?
I can't believe how good these 2 years have been. I'm so thankful for this group of guys. It's the best place. Best guys. It's something really special here with what we have.
Steven playing it. He's a genius. Emily Kaplan, ESPN, post game on the ice with Tkachuk. Crank it up. Nice job. That sound crew tying it together. Do you get it? Watch the links on this one. Have you seen the meme with Tkachuk, Tatum on a bus together as kids? They're both from St. Louis. Went to school together for, I think, at least 3 years. They crossed over. Mm-hmm. On the organ, Budweiser.
Ah.
God, these guys in the back are unbelievable. It's crazy. And it's a hockey organ. Come on.
Wow. The Oregon's fine if, like, you work for a sports team, but, like, if you're on a dating site and you were a girl and you saw a guy played at Oregon but he didn't work for a sports team or, like, a church or something, wouldn't you think he was, like, a total psychopathic weirdo probably or a killer?
I'm not objective on this.
No?
Yeah, I think the Oregon player is, like, the star. We don't have enough of them. I have weird musical taste.
Yeah, but you mean, like, at a game, right? Not just random.
Yeah, if I walked into a house
and a guy's playing the organ, you wouldn't walk out? I would.
My significant other actually took a lot of lessons for piano as a child, and I wish – who's the guy who has the piano in the background? Is it Damian Woody?
Maybe.
Yeah, every TV shot he does from home, it might be a fake background. I may have bought into it. Right. He's got, like, a baby grand in the back.
Oh, wow.
One, I don't have the room for that piano or the budget, but I would love to.
Yeah, but
– oh, if she could play – if I walked in and the SO's like, did it, you know, play, or Habanagila, we played that earlier. Wouldn't that be great? Or like a party? Let's go. Here we go. Did it, and hit the tap the freaking keg.
I think it might
be such a useful instrument.
Might be different for a woman, maybe. And I don't know if I'm the sexist or not, but I don't know. A woman is not as awkward.
Where have you?
Like,
have
if it's
you,
a guy, I just assume he's like Son of Sam or something. I don't know. Like,
have you? Is there actually a serial killer who was like, no, he loved playing the organ?
Not that I know.
It's like a Dahmer or Gacy thing. Did I miss this documentary?
I think
most organ players are like respectable.
It's like,
I don't know about the church ones, but you know,
it's like if a guy plays darts, it's fine. If he's in a dart league,
oh really?
You know, then what
kind of random take is that?
I don't know.
My older brother's in a dart league. Now I gotta worry. He's kind of a weirdo.
Does he play the organ?
Wouldn't that be what double jeopardy? It's not the right term, but yeah, why not? Oh, it's great. Who's worse, a first-time NBA coach in his press conference cursing all over the place, or an organ player?
Depends if he doesn't.
It's not, it depends.
Wait,
does
he play
J. J.
for
Redick.
A sports team or not? Is he doing it for a sports team or is he just doing it on his own?
Really stuck on the Oregon thing. I'm making the segue now. Greg Salerno's in. It's Cofield. By the way, what did I show you during the break? What did I say?
Oh yeah, that was amazing. By the way,
Engelbert Humperdinck.
Dude.
What a performer, and just smooching up the ladies.
He was more than smooching. He was like laying on top of a lady on stage, making out with her.
Yep.
That was pretty crazy.
Sweating bullets.
Yeah.
Wiped the corners of his mouth after he kissed one. Gets right on the other.
I mean, honor. I think he might have committed a crime somewhere in that.
That was Vegas.
That's crazy. I mean, it was really crazy.
That was Vegas.
Thank you for showing me that, by the way.
We need memories like that. Well, I thought of it because I had seen it previously, and then I was like, hey, you know what? Greg is like kind of an old school Vegas guy. He lives in a hotel.
Yeah. I like it. That's not happening to me, but I still
could.
Like it.
It could if you put on the swim shirt at the pool. But you're ashamed for some reason? We've done a lot today. It's been
I don't want to look like someone from the Addams Family. You know what I mean? Like I just – it might be cool if, like, you weren't, you know, look like Uncle Fester or something, but
– Griffin's like, just please get to the Redick sound. So J.J. Redick yesterday. And the reason I'm playing this is not – well, I said earlier I think it's kind of silly to get up there and start cussing. I'll throw in – well, I'll save it. This is a big job. They're all big jobs. We're not your pals. It's not a podcast. You're an adult. You're 40. You're supposedly smart because you went to Duke, which I'll get to the Duke coaching tree later on. Hasn't really worked out that well. Kind of a lot of mediocrity. But, yeah, J.J. Redick, you'll hear the question at the beginning of this. Lady asking him about, hey, what have you seen? Some, you know, perceptions that are wrong. Fire it.
What misconceptions or concerns about you that you've heard in the last few weeks are you the most, like, looking forward to dispelling?
I don't really have a great answer for your question because I really don't give a like, honestly. And I want my players to maximize their careers. That's all I fucking care about.
I like that every time you hear it, you make like a different gruesome face. You're like, sounds stupid.
It seems so forced. Like, you know, he thought about it beforehand. Like,
you think he's trying to be a cool guy?
Yeah, he's out there trying to be edgy and like, I'm going to show you guys I mean business, you know? And it's like, okay, dude. Yeah.
Give it to me again. Does he sound like he naturally uses the F-bomb a lot? Because we know.
I don't really have a great answer for your question because I really don't give a like, honestly. And I want my players to maximize their careers. That's all I fucking care about.
He just emphasizes it in a way where you're kind of like, oh, okay. You know, like,
so he's so not edgy. Even naturally a cusser.
I'm not saying he's not, but it didn't sound natural the way he said it there.
I told you earlier. I learned it from my mom. And when she fires it out, you're like, okay, we got some trouble here. He did give, I thought, an interesting nugget here, and I'd never heard this term, but it is kind of what's going on in the media. And his experience in the media is sort of shaping what he's going to be like with the media coming out of the gates. Fire this.
It's been a really interesting 6 weeks or so, just in terms of, being part of the engagement farming industry.
Do you like that term?
It makes sense. I haven't heard it before that, but it makes sense.
Is that why you do Twitter? To engagement farm?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just a troll. Yeah, I guess so. It doesn't really work very much.
By being a troll, you're sort of engagement farming.
I mean,
thank you, JJ, and PRS people at ESPN or some podcast.
Well, it's different
legend.
When I'm supposed to.
Expert.
Because I'm like a comic, so it's like I'm kind of trying to be funny at the same time. Like, it's not like I'm being introduced as a coach of our team, so it's a little different. But, yeah, I mean, sometimes I just say things for fun. Sometimes I give my real honest opinions and people hate them. That's fine. But I do agree that there's a lot of clickbait, if you want to call it that, or, you know, I mean, a show is supposed to be about basketball, and then 45 minutes is on its killer instinct, you know, nothing about X's and O's at all. So I think there is a lot of that.
364-1100, Finley Kia text line 364-1100. You really want to, when you text in, 702-364-1100. Text from earlier when we were talking about J.J. Redick and his filthy mouth. Person said, there was once a time when adults were supposed to be models for kids. Now I feel like it's the other way around. The use of profanity is a substitute for proper words to express their thoughts. I kind of thought that as well. Like, dude, you're educated.
Yeah.
And we... I'll mention it again. I speak differently to all types of audiences, and I don't mean in the show.
Yeah, read the
I
room
mean out and about.
Yes,
there are. I'm trying to think of someone who I met in the past, and they started cursing, and I was like, oh, okay, we're doing this.
Yeah,
like it's not someone I did not expect to do it.
Well, it happens sometimes with people you work with. Like if you go out doing a remote or something, and then somebody will be there, and then you hear them talking to the client, and you're like, dude, like.
Yeah. Do you know them?
Yeah, exactly. Please make sure that like you have a rapport, whatever that word is, with them before you start doing that.
All right, here we go on the text line, 364-1100. I knew this was coming. Media created this, him cursing. Questioning people's ability, doubt them constantly, openly criticize immediately. You're going to get characters who are bored of the shtick and want to bite back. You know, I'll say to that, not everyone in the press conference is what you think.
Yeah.
We're not
this
homogenous group.
It's not all
okay?
Vipers.
I don't need to go out and be cursed at. Do I? I don't mind it. But the audience is not all the same. And by the way, can I have Rachel Nichols here? So Rachel Nichols was on Fox Sports, and she was talking about Redick, and she kept saying, like, I'm not offended, but there is a little point to look at here.
I don't have a problem with him saying it. It is a little bit of an interesting situation because he didn't realize that he was being simulcast on radio and TV.
And it
wasn't until the radio guys told him when he came on after the press conference, oh, by the way, did you know that we're simulcasting this? And he was like, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. It means nothing. Is the radio station going to get hit by the FCC? No, they are not.
Oh, is that right? Radio expert Rachel Nichols. How do you know? Probably not. Now, if someone raises a stink, someone can make it into something.
Yeah. I was told this, though.
They're probably not. They're fine. All right, Rach.
Working on comp, obviously the line has been pushed quite a bit over there.
What are the rules that you've been told?
I've heard of this thing called a fleeting moment. Mm-hmm. So if somebody says the F word or something like that, and it wasn't kind of planned as part of the show, and it was kind of like a one-time thing that they normally don't get after you for it.
I don't know
how true that is, but so
yeah. There's also the case when someone says it and everyone's like, "Oh no!"
Right.
You can't say that, and then like you're calling everyone's attention to something about to slip through.
It's like when a kid falls and you try not to act like you're scared or whatever, so the kid doesn't start crying, and then you know, if you go like, "Oh my god," and then all of a sudden the kid's like, you know, bawling their eyes out. It's just very similar, I think.
One more from Rach.
The only thing that caught my ear about that was it's a teeny, tiny, insignificant, but tip of the iceberg example of what he doesn't know yet. Little things.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's got to learn.
But again, I feel like it was, he thought of this beforehand. I think he came out there with that,
Game 8 of the season, Lakers blowing inbounds with 15 seconds left. He goes to the press conference. Hey, what'd you have on the inbounds? What? Draw up a play. Huh? See, we knew it. He doesn't know not to curse. Probably doesn't know to drop an inbound play. Yeah. That was a joke.
I get it.
I think True Outrage, Frank Isola, who you'll see every once in a while on, I know he's on Sirius XM, but he's in for the two old guys,
yeah.
Kornheiser and Wilbon. They're not old. Wise. He said enough already with the bleeping profanity in public and during press conferences. Politicians, athletes, coaches, over the top.
I do think, well, I was going to go back to this. I think that politics has really driven this a lot. And I think a lot of this, you know, screw your feelings T-shirts and all that stuff that was going on for a while, I think has driven a lot of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And now it's become more and more acceptable because more people are doing it, politicians and players and other famous people. So I do think that is, there is some truth to that, I think.
702-364-1100 to text in, really, on anything during the show, especially of late, Engelbert Humperdinck. Tom Jones and coaches cussing.
My mom would love this segment.
This one, I like this one.
Yeah.
Dude named Brandon Tierney, who's a radio host in New York. At yesterday's intro press conference, J.J. Redick asked, blah, 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 blah. His answer, I don't give an F. Great answer, you smug punk. I understand societal decorum decays by the day, but don't add to it. Kids watch this stuff. Just another example of why respect for others and authority is so absent these days. I can't wait to watch this pompous ass flame out. He's very angry.
Yeah.
He's got old school morals and values. He's a very old man.
I don't have kids, so I don't care about that at all. But, I mean, you know, I do think he was kind of like doing a shtick, but.
No, he's not.
No, not him. I'm talking about JJ.
No,
JJ.
Tierney is not. By the way, Brandon is probably your age.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I mean, that's some old timey.
Yeah. He must have like six kids or something, right? I mean,
I think he's got two. Yeah. I understand societal decorum decays by the day.
Yeah.
Whatever. What are all you people doing?
I got to slow down for your kids' stupid school zones every 30 feet. You can listen to a couple F words, okay? Sorry. Like, get over it.
Brandon is, where is he on now? He's on, I'm trying to think of the slot. I think he's middays or afternoon drive on WFAN in New York.
Okay.
People who've listened to the show for a while know that he was my roommate. 99 and 2000.
Is there anybody you're not connected to on the planet?
It just happened today. There's a couple of people. I haven't talked about Sid Rosenberg, who I believe me, the work relationship was, we were on the same network. He was in Florida. I was in New York, New Jersey. But I became familiar with him. No, I actually lived with BT, as we call him. And when I see, he does this a lot where he's like,
yeah,
these days, back in my day. And I'm like, I was around back in your day. What are you, crazy?
Was he like this before the kids? Like he was always kind of a, no. Okay.
You don't know people like this?
Oh, I do. I know one right next door.
Why? What does he do?
Gooch.
Oh, you're right. He has totally changed. Goose on comp.
Yes. Now he's like, you know, oh, I don't know about this. I'm like, dude, I knew you for 15 years. What, are you kidding? I can tell you stories right now that would get us both fired. Like, get out of here, man.
Is that the senior citizen Gooch?
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know what's happening here.
He wrote a book about raising kids before your kid was even born.
I love this so much. I mentioned about 2 weeks ago, I had another friend in radio who, you know, I did stuff with, say, like late 90s.
Yeah.
And he tried to do the NBA where he's like, oh, today, I mean, these players complaining and this and that. And like, you know, in Jordan's era and, you know, into the early 90s, it was, you know, so much better. And he never wrote me. I sent a message to him on Twitter. I'm like, we used to argue you hated the NBA in the 90s. You said the same thing about them comparing it to the guys in the 70s and 80s.
Right.
You can't just move the line and go, the 90s were great. I'm like, you never thought they were great. You liar.
There's like a certain window of purview. You like the quarterback. They used to have this quarterback view on Madden where you can only see a certain part of the field. There's only like a certain amount of years they can see at one time and then it's hate on whatever that is.
Thank God I have a long memory. And I remember what people – I remember their actions.
Yeah, me too.
And now when they're like, you know, with the walker, like, what's going on? Like, well, you're not old. Stop.
Well, because they've changed and we haven't. That's why. I mean, you know, in certain ways.
I think – well, there's some bad ways, yes.
Yeah, but I don't have kids is what I'm saying. So.
Yes. This is all absurd.
It is crazy.
What are we doing anymore? That said, go back to the beginning of the conversation. J.J. Redick, come on. Not a doubt.
You're right.
And I do have to mention where everyone's like, oh, Coach K, the coaches he's produced over the years, the coaching tree, is solid. It's solid. Jeff Capel, it took him like three stops. He's a good coach at Pitt now. Chris Collins is doing a pretty solid job at Northwestern. Johnny Dawkins kind of flamed out. Bobby Hurley has been kind of okay at Arizona State.
Yeah.
Like
how many of them...
Bray technically is from his tree. He was at Notre Dame for a long time. John Shire is now the coach at Duke. Quinn Snyder's a pretty good NBA coach. Woj, you know, slap on the floor.
Yeah.
You know, he had his stops. Was at Marquette. Like, there's no one who's unbelievable. I think Redick can be a good coach. I'll tell you this, though. On my whole point earlier, we got to go to break here. On my point earlier about I hope Redick can talk some sense into the GM, LeBron / Rich Paul / Pelinka.
Sure.
I saw someone suggest that the hedgehog, Stan Van Gundy, that'd be a nice guy to add to the crew with the Lakers.
Sure.
But who has the power?
Yeah.
Who has the freaking power? Does Redick have veto power? Like, no, I want him.
Well, that's when you drop the F-bombs.
That's
the time to do it.
That's when you really use it. All right, 364-1100, 364-1100. Caller number 7, let's give away some tickets to our Aviators in town against Sacramento. Saturday game, 7:05 first pitch. They've got Jersey Weekend, Hat Weekend going on Friday and Saturday. AviatorsLV.com. Go check the website to not only get the tickets, but also my information on the promotions, because I might have the day screwed up, but I know they've got some big giveaways coming up. Caller 7, 364-1100.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
Last few minutes of Cofield and Company. Your final chance today to get on the Lotus Summer of Fun. 702-364-1100 is the text number. We use that number for a lot of purposes, but if you text in, it's our Planet Nissan Summer of Fun. 8 trips, 8 weeks. Last week, we gave away a trip to Liverpool. This week, the trip is to Nashville, 6 days, 5 nights in Nash Vegas. Jack Daniel's Distillery Tour, spending cash, or you can just take straight up cash. Got to text in the code word of the day. Today's word is airport. Airport. Get in now. Airport, 702-364-1100. I don't know why. Don't show me Twitter during the break. I have to look into this. I'm not just doing it off the cuff.
We're gonna do
a bunch of hockey reaction tomorrow because I want to see what the numbers were for Game 7. I put this on our rundown. The New York Times yesterday before the game was touting that the NHL was gonna in a really good position. You got a Game 7. You got the game's most popular player, which I will argue with. In Connor McDavid, who I think, did they dub him? Oh, one of the guys on the Lebatard show was calling him McOverrated. Not the most creative, whatever.
Yeah.
But in this New York Times story, they had a reference to an SI cover in 1994. And this has always been this theme between these two leagues. And I was going to say, I don't get it. I know why it happens. Front cover, 94. Two pictures. Top picture is Rangers. Bottom picture is the Bulls going against various opponents. I can't see the opposition. I think it's Vancouver against the Rangers. Bulls opposition, you can't tell. But it says, why the NHL is hot and the NBA's not. It's 30 years ago. Good call.
People still say that now. They argue with me all the time.
We'll get into this tomorrow. I don't necessarily think the NHL, the problem is the sport. I think it's their leadership.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, I don't know what you do, but last night, your Conn Smythe winner, he has a chance to come out, and he's going to get booed.
Right.
Connor McDavid.
Right.
And Bettman is out there, and Bettman's a nightmare on the mic. And he's out there, and you could just tell, like, he's just stalling. Connor McDavid ain't coming out. He never came out. Like, come out and say something like, hey, you guys are great fans. Congrats. We'll be back next year, but you guys were the better side. He can't even do that. And then you wonder why either it's Bettman or some of the players, the unwillingness. Like, you got to do certain things to build the game. Where is he? Someone throw him on the ice.
I also think that, yeah, you're right. But I also think that there's a lot, like hockey, you need a lot of stuff. Pads, equipment. At basketball, you just go pick up and you can just go play.
Do you think it's the price of the game?
I think some of that
the
is
entry the entry price of the game.
A lot of people didn't grow up playing. I never played hockey growing up. I played basketball. You know?
You would have been a hell of a player.
I'm
with
sure.
your physique. Really good
hey,
checker.
Hey, size 15 shoe. I would have had good balance.
There you go. Taker of checks. Greg Salerno. All right, good job today. Thanks.